Omaha Public Radio presents another program from the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce on Noon Forum. We'll hear a debate between the two candidates for United States Senate from Nebraska, Republican Deborah Fisher, currently serving her second term in the Nebraska unicameral, representing the 43rd District, the chairman of the Transportation and Telecommunications Committee, and a member of the Revenue Committee and the Executive Board, and Democrat Joseph Bob Carey, former governor of Nebraska, former United States Senator from Nebraska from 1989 to 2001, and currently a resident of New York State, where he served as president of the New School from 2001 to 2010. The debate is co-sponsored by the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce and KETV Channel 7. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Friday afternoon, September 28, 2012, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the candidates and do not necessarily represent those of the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce, KETV Channel 7, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is KETV News anchorman Rob McCartney.
Our panelists in this debate are KETV Newswatch 7's Todd Andrews, Omaha World Herald political reporter Robin Tisver, senior producer reporter with NET News Mike Tobias. Now, the panelists in this KETV Newswatch 7 Greater Omaha Chamber debate will ask the candidates a series of questions. Each candidate will have 90 seconds to answer, then will be given 30 seconds of rebuttal time. We want to begin with our opening statements, 1 minute long each, and under rules agreed upon by both candidates, a coin flip determined who will go first, and that is Senator Fisher.
Thank you very much. A little over a year ago, I began this campaign for the United States Senate, and I introduced myself to Nebraskans as I traveled all across the state, because I'm not your usual politician. I'm a wife of 40 years, a mother of three grown sons and a great daughter-in-law. We're ranchers, we're small business owners, and I've been a citizen legislator for the past 8 years. I'm a conservative who believes in limited government. I've worked with my colleagues in the legislature, and we've taken on those tough issues. We've made those hard decisions. We've cut spending. We've balanced our budget. And we've provided tax relief. That's what we do in Nebraska. And that's what we need to do in Washington as well. Nebraskans are saying enough. Enough spending, enough debt, and enough taxes on the middle class. Nebraskans are ready for a real change. We want and we need to have somebody there who's going to take the Nebraska way to Washington, and I promise you that's what I'll do.
Senator Fisher, thank you. Senator Carey.
Well, first of all, let me assure you that I am still Bob Carey. I look a little different than I did before. I'm a little older, grayer, and hopefully a little wiser. You know me. You know I went to war. I came home to Nebraska, started a business that now employs more than 700 people. You know, I was your governor when we had a recession and a large deficit, and we came through for you and got the job done. You know, I was your senator when the nation had a recession, another large deficit. Again, we came through for you to get the job done. I'm a candidate for the United States Senate because Washington is a mess. Both parties have made commitments that we cannot keep, and nobody wants to do anything about it. I promise to go to Washington to change our Congress. And I promise to work with Republicans to get our budget balanced so that we can set a different course for our country. My opponent promises more of the same. It's slogans, not solutions. She signed the Nordquist Pledge and a constitutional amendment that will be very bad for Nebraska. I promise to put our country first. I promise to seek bipartisan solutions. And I promise to get on your side one more time to get the job done.
Senator Carey, thank you. A coin toss also determined which candidate will be the first to answer a question. It goes to Senator Carey from Todd Andrews. Todd.
Senator Carey, what would you say to people who are not only unemployed but have also given up looking for work altogether?
Well, I'd say we got work to do. I mean, part of the problem is what I just talked about. I mean, Washington has not been able to get the job done. I think we've got to have fundamental change in our Congress. Fundamental change. I'm advocating a 45-word change in our Constitution to force the Congress to organize in a nonpartisan fashion, to force term limits of 12 years, to force give the Congress permission to ban all outside money and limit what that can be spent in campaigns. Money is corrupting our agenda and making it difficult to balance our budget, making it difficult to simplify our tax code, making it difficult to get a farm bill and things that used to be relatively easy when I was in the Senate. Congress has become way too partisan, and it's become way too difficult as a consequence to do the things that the people themselves want to have done.
Senator Fisher.
What I would say to people is we need to change the direction our country's headed. We have had over 40 months of unemployment over 8%. In Nebraska, we have an unemployment rate of 4%. We've created jobs here in this state. That's what we need to do in the United States as well. You know, I have a jobs plan. We need to back government away from small businesses. We need to have government reduce those regulations that are such a burden on our businesses so that they can create jobs. We need to reform a tax code. We need to reduce energy costs. People are looking for opportunities to work, and we need to help small businesses to create those opportunities.
Senator Kerry, you have 30 seconds.
Well, Senator Fisher, I've looked at your plan. First of all, you signed the Norquist Pledge, which wouldn't allow you to say to Americans over the age that generate more than $1 million of income that you ought to pay the same tax that your employees pay. Secondly, your balanced budget amendment would at least double unemployment in the state. It's a fact. It's not. This is not me exaggerating here. I've examined the balanced budget amendment that Senator Fisher supports, and it will at least double unemployment in our state.
Senator Fisher.
I disagree with Mr. Kerry on his numbers, obviously, and with regards to the Buffett rule, if you're going to tax every millionaire that makes over $1 million, that can run the government for 17 hours. You know, let's stop with the scare tactics. Let's look at how we're going to help businesses create jobs and make opportunities for people in this state and in this country. And we can do it. We can do it by reducing regulations. We can do it by having an energy plan. We can do it by repealing Obamacare.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. Our next question for Senator Fisher comes from Robin Tisver, chief political reporter of the Omaha World Herald. Robin?
A big question in this year's election cycle is, are we better off today than we were 4 years ago? My question, are we?
Yes. No, we're not better off as a country. We're not better off with our economy. We're not better off with our position in the world. We have seen a failure in leadership with this administration and with a Congress that's locked in gridlock. We need to send leaders to Washington who are going to make tough decisions. I've shown you that I've been effective here in Nebraska in taking on tough policy issues. We've worked together. We've made those tough decisions. That needs to happen. That needs to happen in Washington as well. There is gridlock. We do need to reform Washington. Nebraskans know, and they don't like, the way Washington does business, because nothing is happening. Mr. Kerry and I do agree on that. We just disagree on how we need to change it. We need to create jobs. You're going to hear me say that a lot, because I believe that private businesses can create those opportunities, can create those jobs. It's not government. It's backing government away. It's backing government away from all the rules and regulations. It's changing a tax code that creates tremendous burdens on businesses. We need to look at reducing the corporate tax rate from 35% down to 24%. 35%, that's the highest among all of our trading partners. We need to close the loopholes then so businesses reinvest in this country.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. Senator Kerry.
Well, in Nebraska, I'd say decidedly yes. I mean, we've got record farm income last year. We have a balance of payment surplus for the rest of the world that's a record level as well. Median family income in Nebraska is up. It's true that poverty rates have gone up as well, and that's a problem. But if you look at the success of agriculture, particularly look at the success of ethanol, I was in Blair yesterday. We have 1,000 jobs up there on that Cargill campus, including a great success by the Omaha Chamber and Governor Heineman and Senator Nelson to bring in Novozyme, another 100 good jobs for our state connected to our success in ethanol, our success in a program that's reduced the cost of fuel and increased our energy independence. But we are, in Nebraska, we are better. We would not be better if Senator Fisher's plan gets enacted. It would take spending to 18% of GDP, and I ask Nebraskans, examine the facts. That will at least double and maybe even triple unemployment as a consequence of the cuts that would be required by that amendment. We don't need a constitutional amendment. We balanced the budget in the 1990s by making difficult decisions, many of which Senator Fisher now objects to. I'm not sure she did object to them when we were doing them in the 90s, but it got the job done. We balanced the budget. We were paying off debt. But to impose a constitutional amendment would be devastating to the state of Nebraska. And I asked Nebraskans to examine those facts.
Senator Kerry, thank you. Senator Fisher, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you. I would also ask Nebraskans to examine the facts and examine our records. You know, we have done well here in the state of Nebraska. In my 8 years in the legislature, I'm very, very proud that I worked with my colleagues and I worked with Governor Heineman, and we've passed legislation to help grow businesses. We passed the Nebraska Advantage Act. We passed the Super Advantage Act. We passed angel investing. We're taking care of innovation and entrepreneurship. We've done it in Nebraska. That's what I want to take to Washington.
Senator Kerry?
Well, in the Omaha Republican debate, the Tea Party debate here, Mr. Flynn pointed out that Nebraska balanced its budget in 2009 and 2010 as a consequence of federal stimulus, 80%, the second highest use of stimulus money to balance the budget of any state in the nation. The federal government would not have that flexibility under the Fisher plan, under her constitutional amendment. Again, it will destroy jobs, it will close rural hospitals, make it difficult for us to keep our commitment to veterans, make it difficult for us to fund the crop insurance bill that she supports. It has real consequences, and they're all negative.
Thank you, Senator. Question number three is from NET News reporter, producer Mike Tobias for Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Rob. There are Nebraska Army National Guard soldiers who've been deployed overseas four times in the last decade, often into combat situations. Has the war on terror put too much burden on our citizen soldiers? And what do you see as the role of Guard and Reserve soldiers in the next decade, Senator Kerry?
Well, too much, I would say, relative to all the rest of us, yes. I mean, we've got two wars, one in Iraq, one in Afghanistan. We borrow the money from the Chinese to do it. I wouldn't support any war unless we're willing to pay for it. We have a news story today that talks about the backlog in VA claims, but right behind it, what you see is that in 2001, we were spending $26 billion a year on veterans' benefits and particularly disability benefits. It's triple that today, and it's projected to go to $130 billion. So not only do we impose, I think, a disproportionate burden on the people that are actually serving us relative to what we're having to pay, but in addition to that, don't you think that this doesn't have a long tail on it? It has a very long tail on it, and it makes it much more difficult for us to solve our budget problem. It's one of the reasons that the Fisher plan on amending the Constitution is so unrealistic and we'd be so negative. We couldn't keep the commitments to these young men and women. And I've been with them. I had Mike Thornton in here, the most decorated Navy veteran in the history of our country in here. We met with former GIs out in Grand Island. And you can see the look in their eyes. They've got problems. Now, I think we can help them. I think we can help them get through it. But remember, we've got one of these kids every single day that's killing themselves. So, yes, we put, a disproportionate pressure on them. I'm proud of what they've done. I appreciate what they've done. I'm grateful for what they've done for us.
Thank you, Senator Kerry. Senator Fisher.
Thank you. I thank our service people, and I thank their families for the sacrifices that they make, for their dedication to this country, for their patriotism for this country. Is it a burden on our National Guard? Of course it is. But they willingly step forward and make those sacrifices for us. My concern when it comes to defense is we're headed to a fiscal cliff. We're looking at sequestration. We're looking already at $500 billion in cuts to the Department of Defense. With sequestration, if that happens, that's another $500 billion. We're looking at the smallest Army since 1950, the smallest Navy since 1915, and the smallest Air Force fleet ever. That cannot happen. We need to make a commitment. We need to make a commitment to our military. National security is of the utmost importance. It's the first priority of a national government. And when you're looking at sequestration and you have the director of the Department of Defense, the secretary, saying that this is a bullet to the head, this is devastating, he will take whatever he can get. We are at a fiscal cliff, and these cuts to our defense are at the forefront of it.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. Senator Kerry, you have 30 seconds.
Well, first of all, Senator Fisher, your balanced budget amendment, it will take the sequester and multiply by at least seven, the cuts that would be imposed as a consequence. So you're hearing slogans in support of our military and support of our veterans, but the balanced budget amendment won't permit it. Finally, let me say this. Neither presidential candidate or vice presidential candidate, 80% of our Congress has never served in the military. And I promise you, when it comes time to send somebody else's son or daughter to war, when it comes time to take care of them when they came home, it matters to have been there.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Fisher, 30 seconds.
Thank you. Mr. Kerry, I thank you for your service. I thank you for your service to our country. but I believe everyone would make a sound decision, and it would be a hard decision any time that we send our young men and women into harm's way, and I would take that decision very seriously.
Thank you. Next question is from Todd Andrews for Senator Fisher. Todd?
Senator Fisher, as we all know by now and has been talked about a lot in the media of late, 47% of Americans do not pay income tax. Some have argued that this is proof that we become an entitlement nation. Do you agree or disagree, and why?
You know, I've heard that comment. Obviously, I've been asked that comment since it's been made. I'm running my own campaign. I have my own views. When I have served in the Nebraska legislature, I've always said that there are four priorities of state government, and those are public education, public safety, public infrastructure, and taking care of those who truly cannot care for themselves. That applies to our federal government as well. There are people that need help, and government needs to help those people. That's a given. And to make comments on both sides in trying to divide this country and divide the people of this country, that serves no purpose. People sometimes need help, and government should be there for them.
Senator Fisher, thank you. Senator Kerry?
Well, I do know I've been a lot more careful looking for those video cameras when I'm answering questions as a result of Governor Romney's problem. But look, there's a grain of truth in it. I don't think a Social Security beneficiary, Medicare beneficiary, is a moocher or a disabled veteran is a moocher. But when I said in my opening statement, Republicans and Democrats have made commitments, and we can't afford to keep them. Look at either one of those two programs. Either one of those two programs. They're enormously important programs, but it's a $60 trillion unfunded liability. That's $400,000 worth of debt for every single person in the workforce. It isn't fair. It simply isn't fair. In the State Fair debate, Senator Fisher said nobody over the age of 40 should have to pay more or take less. That's basically saying to people under the age of 40, if you think your lives are difficult now, just you wait another 18 years when 30 million more Social Security and Medicare beneficiaries are going to be on the rolls. We've got to solve this problem. And I do honestly as well believe that the Social Security plan that I've endorsed, which has the support of conservative Republican Senator Tom Coburn and the Medicare proposal as well with his support, I think that's the foundation for balancing our budget. It's way too easy to demagogue this stuff. And I've listened to both President Obama and Governor Romney both demagogue and misrepresent the facts of what's going on with both of these programs. So I don't regard people who are getting government benefits as moochers, but we've got a huge problem here, and we've got to address it, because if we don't address it, it won't be long before we're Greece.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Fisher, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you. I believe the government has to honor their commitments. When promises are made, promises are kept. And we need to honor the commitments we've made to our seniors, and that's why I say, let me be clear. No one over the age of 40 should see their benefits cut or their taxes increased. Promises were made by government. Promises need to be kept. We need to find ways to make sure that that's going to happen, and I believe there's bipartisan support to do so. No one's going to watch Social Security fail.
Senator Kerry.
Look, the promises are made in order to secure the votes of people over the age of 65. That's why they're made. And we keep promising. Since the Second World War, we've been doing it. The problem is, it's a $60 trillion unfunded liability. And the question is, are we going to solve the problem? Are we going to pander to the audience one more time and ignore it? And if we ignore it, God help the United States of America.
Thank you, Senator. Next question is from Robin Tisver for Senator Kerry. Robin?
Recently at their national conventions, Republicans called for a constitutional amendment banning all abortions with no exception for rape or incest. Where do you stand on this proposal and why?
I vigorously oppose it. I trust women to make that decision. It's a difficult decision. There are a lot better ways to reduce the number of abortions and regulate women. How can you be for deregulating business and then want to regulate half our population? You've got to think about what that would require our law enforcement community to do. And it doesn't stop there, by the way. Our working mothers are in trouble. We've got to get prenatal care to them. We've got to get increase the amount of money we provide for child care. We've got way too many of our children that are coming into kindergarten behind. And if they're behind in kindergarten, we lose them forever. Now, I've been involved with a project here in Omaha, Nebraska called Project Harmony for the last 30 years. It's 2,500 kids a year here in Omaha that are provided refuge. They're being sexually abused or physically assaulted in their own home. So we got to pay attention to those kids. We got to help them. We got to help the moms and the community leaders that are trying to solve this problem, because it's a real unclear problem. I don't think we should regulate women in making this decision. I think the government should stay out of it. However, it doesn't stop there. There's lots more that needs to be done to make certain that the children that we're bringing into this world have a fair and decent opportunity to live to their full potential.
Senator, thank you. Senator Fisher?
I am pro-life, and I believe in the sanctity of life. I do believe that there should be an exception made for the life of the mother. But what we're looking at is an economy that's hurting families. We're looking at an economy that tends to hurt women more. The situation we're in the last 4 years, it's hurting women. Women aren't able to find jobs. Women have seen decreases in their pay. We need to help families by having jobs created so they can provide for their families, so they can save for college, so they can buy a home. But when it comes to decisions on life, yes, I am pro-life.
Senator Fisher, thank you. Senator Kerry, you have 30 seconds.
Look, there's a lot more ways to be pro-life than amended our Constitution to say that women cannot make their own reproductive decisions, up to and including, under Senator Fisher's proposal, having to prove that they were forcibly raped. It's wrong. It's unnecessary. And she has an F voting record of the Voices for Children. She voted against providing prenatal care, said it was going to be a magnet for undocumented. It wasn't just undocumented. It was undocumented others as well. We've got to take care of these kids, and we can't just give slogans. We're going to have to put more time into our kids, and we're going to have to put more money into them as well.
Senator Kerry, thank you. Senator Fisher, 30 seconds.
The comments made by the gentleman from Missouri were offensive. They were offensive to me as a woman. I do not support those comments at all. What I do support and what I have supported and we've seen passed here in Nebraska are parental notification, our protection for unborn children. That's important. It's passed here in Nebraska overwhelmingly with bipartisan support, with a number of senators who have stood up on the floor and supported those issues because they believe in the importance of life.
Thank you. The next question from Mike Tobias is for Senator Fisher. Mike?
One constant theme that I've heard throughout this election year has been voter frustration with partisan politics. You've both talked about this. With that in mind, talk about one current or recent U.S. senator from across the aisle whom you admire and why. Senator Fisher?
We get this question a lot, don't we? No, of course it's important to be bipartisan. I always say to folks, you know, look at my record here in Nebraska. You are not elected chair of a major committee. You're not elected to leadership if you are strictly a partisan person. We've worked across the aisle on a number of issues in this state and taking on those really, really tough policy issues and building consensus. That's how you get things done. I would hope to do that in Washington as well. Before, I've mentioned a couple times names, Senator Manchin, Senator Warner. They've expressed interest in making spending cuts, in reforming the Health Care Act. So those are individuals that I would look to in order to work with on issues. But I believe there's bipartisan support on a number of issues. For example, the corporate tax rate. There's bipartisan support for that. There's bipartisan support at looking at reforming the tax code, at looking at repealing the death tax, which we've done in Nebraska, at looking at repealing the alternative minimum tax. That was set up as a parallel tax that was put out there to try and capture income from wealthier individuals, but it wasn't indexed for inflation. And now it's dipping down and it's hurting the middle class, so that one in five people in the middle class are affected by that. And there's bipartisan support for a number of issues, including those.
Senator Fisher, thank you. Senator Kerry?
Well, first of all, Senator Fisher, you can work with me as well. I support cutting spending and I support fixing the affordable health care as well, not repealing it, but fixing it. Look, I worked with Dick Shelby to reform our intelligence structure after we had a major breakthrough with a spy called Aldrich Ames. Rob Portman and I reformed the Internal Revenue Service. Pat Roberts and I, Republican Kansas, did crop insurance. Johnny Isaacson did the same thing with me on web-based education. I worked with George Bush and with John McCain to normalize relations with Vietnam. It was a wonderful bipartisan accomplishment that I'm quite proud of personally. But it isn't just identifying Republicans that I can work with. The rules have to change. And I promise you that if I get elected to the Senate, I believe I can persuade Americans to amend our Constitution, to abolish the caucus, instruct the Congress to organize in a nonpartisan way,
to set 12 years of consecutive services limitation, allow the Congress to ban both outside money and the amount of money can be spent in campaigns, because that's corrupting our political decision-making. We need to change the rules of the filibuster. We need to go further than that and reduce the number of committees, reform the congressional pension, which is way out of whack with what the marketplace will pay. So there's many, many changes that need to occur, not just identifying somebody that I can work with, but who am I going to fight? And I'll be fighting with Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid on a regular basis, because we have to change Congress. It's not accidental that more Nebraskans support waterboarding than support the United States Congress.
Senator Kerry, thank you. Senator Fisher, you have 30 seconds for rebuttal.
Thank you. You know, throughout my adult life, I've been very fortunate to serve on a number of boards, a number of commissions. I was a school board member for over 20 years. And in that capacity, you learn to work with any number of people, any number of Nebraskans. On a school board, you work with your educators, your board members, the administration, and most importantly, the people in a community. You know, I've done that, not just in the legislature, but throughout my adult life. And that's something that I believe I have a talent for, and I would take it to Washington.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Kerry.
Well, first of all, and for those of you who are supporting Senator Fisher, don't worry. I'll work with you after this campaign. I've done it before. I don't regard whether or not you support me as whether or not I'm going to be an ally of yours after the fact. But we've got to change Washington. It just isn't going to work simply to identify Republicans or Democrats that we can work with, unless and until we change the rules of the Congress. And it's going to be a fight. But I do believe we can persuade America that it needs to be done, and I personally believe I can persuade Americans that we need to amend our Constitution.
Thank you, Senator. The next question for Senator Kerry comes from Todd Andrews. Todd?
Senator Kerry, what do you like about the Affordable Care Act, and what would you change about it? If you dropped the requirement that everyone buy insurance, would the program even be possible financially?
Well, I like a number of things about the Affordable Health Care Act. It's a big difference between Senator Fisher and myself. She wants to repeal it. I don't. I think it needs to be fixed. I'd eliminate the employer mandate. I like very much that it's a market-oriented program, because we're creating state exchanges where people can buy insurance. I like very much that it already has decreased the cost to 300,000 Nebraskans over the age of 65 on Medicare for their prescription drugs, and it's increased the amount of money and opportunities for them to get preventative care and preventative testing. So there's many good things that are already there. But the big moment's going to occur in 2014. 120,000 working men and women in Nebraska. 120,000. You know who they are. Anybody that makes less than 10 bucks an hour, practically. 12,000 veterans and their families are in that 120,000 group. They're going to be able to afford to buy health insurance. And I can tell you from personal experience, and other than it makes the difference between life and death, other than it oftentimes can determine whether or not you can hold a job, other than it determines whether or not you're going to be able to survive as a family, it won't have much of an impact. I think you'll have trouble finding anybody 8 or 9 years from now who will say, honestly, they oppose this act. It'll be good for the people of Nebraska. I believe it's going to be good for our economy. It's going to be good for our rural hospitals. I can identify a number of things that need to be changed, but fundamentally, I think this bill would do an awful lot of good for our state.
Senator Kerry, thank you. Senator Fisher?
I want to repeal the Affordable Health Care Act, and I believe then we need to step forward and go in a step-by-step fashion in order to address accessibility and affordability of health care in this country. We need to look at tort reform, liability reform. Here in Nebraska, we are so fortunate that we do have a cap on liability, and that helps keep costs down, because a quarter of the medical procedures that are asked for are not necessary. Doctors do it because of their concern on liability. We need to look at carrying insurance across state lines. That'll make it more competitive, more affordable. We need to look at making it easier for healthcare associations to be formed, so businesses and individuals can get together and have a more competitive and affordable healthcare insurance. We don't need to have a mandate. We don't need to have a board come between a patient and a doctor. And we certainly do not need to steal over $700 billion from Medicare to pay for it.
Senator Fisher, thank you. Senator Kerry, 30 seconds.
This last statement, this is what's wrong with the political debate about what to do about Medicare. Nothing was stolen. That's a decrease in reimbursement to insurance companies and hospitals, and all it did was extended the insolvency date of Medicare back 8 years. Do what she wants to do, insolvency occurs in 2016. It's political rhetoric. Obama's using it. Romney's using it. They're all out there using it. I just ask you this question on the Affordable Health Care Act. Why aren't there any Nebraskans over the age of 65 who are uninsured? And the answer is federal law. And the same arguments you're hearing against the Affordable Health Care Act were leveled against Medicare in 1965.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Fisher, 30 seconds.
Thank you. This is stealing over $700 billion from Medicare. It is taking that reimbursement from hospitals. And hospitals then expected to make that up. They expected to make it up because of the increase in patients that would be on government insurance. That was a deal that was made. So you can talk about political statements, but the fact is it does take that $700 billion from Medicare.
Thank you, Senator. Next question for Senator Fisher from Robin. Senator?
It's another health care question. Do you think every American is entitled to health care, to health, quality health care, to insurance, or do you think it's something that should be earned?
I believe that we need to look at the affordability of health care. We need to make sure that Americans can afford it. We need to make sure that Americans have opportunities to have jobs, good-paying jobs, in order to purchase health care. We always, as I said earlier, we always need to be cognizant and take care of those who truly can't care for themselves. We need to look at pre-existing conditions, for example. And I hear that bipartisan talk on both sides. And I know that that will happen. We can work this out so that people with pre-existing conditions are covered. But my main concern is to make it affordable. Healthcare really now isn't affordable for anyone. You can all look at your insurance. And whether you buy it yourself, if you're self-insured and have a large deductible, or if you're fortunate enough to have an employer who helps to provide you with health care insurance, it's expensive. And we need to look at ways that we can lower the cost of health care insurance in this country.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Kerry.
Well, first of all, I'll take a little of this time to go back one more time. That $700 billion pushes the insolvency date of Medicare out to 2024. Reverse it, and it's insolvent in 2016. That's a fact. That's not an exaggeration. No, I don't. Look, we have a messed up healthcare system, in my view, particularly in the financing side. And I think there's lots that we can do to take the Affordable Health Care Act and increase the number of people who have insurance. I don't think you should ever get to a point where you say, health care is free. There was a bumper sticker once I saw that if you think health care is expensive now, wait till it's free for everybody. We do all have to face the cost of health care. We do all have to participate in some fashion in controlling the cost and asking ourselves the question, how far are we going to go? What are we going to spend our money on? But under current law, what we currently have is guys like me that get blown up in a war, we're eligible for subsidies. I would not recommend that as a way to become eligible for subsidy. But if you hit the age of 65, if you got a kidney that needs dialysis, if you're poor and the Medicaid is the worst, you got to promise to stay poor in order to be eligible. You work for the right employer, those who provide health insurance, or for the government. Federal, state, city, school, county, they're all subsidized. So I do think if you think about the Affordable Health Care Act using these exchanges, I would very much like to see the Fed swap out K-12 and take over the acute care portion of Medicare to remove the burden of Medicaid from the state, but also to get to a point where we could really start to use these exchanges as a way to increase the number of people who have health insurance but also are facing the true cost of the care.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Fisher, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you. You know, every day we learn more and more about the Affordable Health Care Act. And as I talk to medical providers across the state, they have deep concerns. They cannot expand their businesses, doctors who are in private practice, because of the uncertainty. We have hospitals that are concerned, especially in rural Nebraska. You know, I have a number of critical access hospitals. They don't know what's coming because of the uncertainty that's out there with health care. But I always go back to, we need to make sure that health care is affordable, and that wasn't addressed in the debate that passed, or the non-debate that passed, the Affordable Health Care Act.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. Senator Kerry, 30 seconds.
Well, I've heard the same uncertainty, but a lot of that's associated with the fact that Congress kicked every single tax and spending decision beyond the election, and it gets back to the need to reform Congress, to change it so that it stops doing that sort of thing. There's a lot of uncertainty that's born of people saying they want to repeal the law. They don't know what's going to happen after the election. These exchanges can work. These exchanges are market-oriented. There's a lot that needs to be changed about this system, but we need to go forward and not back.
Thank you, Senator. Next question from Mike Tobias for Senator Kerry. Mike?
There are solid intelligence reports that Iran is very close to testing a nuclear weapon. At what point would you support military action against Iran? Senator Kerry?
Well, you know, I've on the Intelligence Committee for 8 years, and anytime I hear the phrase solid intelligence reports, the first word out of my mouth is oxymoron. I mean, we don't always have as solid intelligence reports as we think. Look, we can't allow Iran to acquire nuclear weapons, and we have capacity. And I don't think it's worthwhile for us to be discussing what are the military options. I'd say very close to our special operations community. I understand what the SEAL team can do. I understand what our capabilities are. All we need to say to Iran is we're trying sanctions. We've got the international community on our side. We can't allow you to acquire nuclear weapons. But I'll say it one more time. Remember the veterans numbers that I gave you earlier. $26 billion worth of pension and disability payments in 2001, $76 billion today, going to $130 billion today. Don't you think that there's not any price? I mean, I was actually concerned when I see that two-thirds of Nebraskans want to get out of Afghanistan and two-thirds want to go to war in Iran. We all get worked up and wave the flag and get patriotic. I was in a war where that was the case. And after 3 or 4 years, we ran out of gas. Remember, you got to answer the question, what happens afterwards? And I think we have to be very, very careful. Simultaneously, we're making it clear to Iran we have tremendous amount of military capability, and we'll use that military capability, if necessary, to prevent you from acquiring nuclear weapons.
Senator, thank you. Senator Fisher.
Iran cannot be allowed to acquire nuclear weapons. But we have an administration that has sent mixed signals. We have a strong, strong ally in Israel, the only democracy in the region. This isn't just their problem. It's not just the problem in the region. We're looking at the country of Iran, where it's estimated in 3 years they will have ICBMs that can reach the United States. This is a concern for the world. It's a concern for our country. We have an administration that hasn't been clear on foreign policy, and there's been a lack of leadership. In 2009, there were protesters in Iran. We heard nothing from our government. In 2011, the government finally stepped forward, and we saw some sanctions put in place. I'm happy to see that European countries have also stepped forward and implemented sanctions against Iran. But we need to have a strong administration who's going to make it clear that a line needs to be drawn. We've never heard from this government. We've never heard them say that Iran should not be enriching uranium. We need to make clear, if we're going to be leaders, if the United States of America is going to be a leader in foreign policy and keep stability in this world, as has been our mission in the past, then we need to make it clear.
Senator Fisher, thank you. Senator Kerry, you have 30 seconds.
Well, I'm not running for president, so I don't want to get into a disagreement with President Obama or Governor Romney and what you're doing around it. Just say again that we can't allow them to acquire nuclear weapons. But we've got to answer the question, what happens afterwards? The Fifth Fleet's in Bahrain. That's in the Persian Gulf. They don't call it the Persian Gulf for nothing. We got all worked up when we launched cruise missiles in on Libya in the middle 1980s, and we're all fired up. Wasn't that great? And then they knocked down Pan Am 103. What did we do afterwards? It's not as simple as saying we're just going to go in there. I believe we've got to draw a line, but I think we've got to be very conscious of what it means when we do.
Thank you, Senator Kerry. Senator Fisher.
I would just reiterate that we need to have leadership here in this country when it comes to foreign policy. We haven't seen that in the last 4 years, and we're witnessing now the turmoil, which I believe is due in part to that. We've seen terrorism and Al-Qaeda resurface in Libya. This world is not a safe place. Our world has changed in the last 11 years. It's become less safe. And if we don't have strong messages sent from Washington, it makes it even less safe.
Thank you, Senator. Next question for Senator Fisher from Todd Andrews.
Senator Fisher, it has been said that the greatest threat to America right now is its accumulating debt, $16 trillion and counting, of course. Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are the main problems going forward there. What real solutions would you come up with?
$16 trillion in debt. Who would have ever thought that? Who would have thought it 4 years ago? We can't continue down this path. And as I travel the state of Nebraska, I hear that from everyone. This is not sustainable. What do we do about it? We get spending under control. We cut spending. I support a balanced budget amendment. And we back government away from businesses. We reduce regulations. I met with some home builders in Lincoln just a couple weeks ago. And it was interesting because it, and I hear these stories all over the state, but it's interesting because it wasn't that many years ago when inspectors would come in and say, gee, you need to change this so you get in compliance with this rule. Well, now they come in and you're fined. And this home builder had a ladder leaning up against the wall, and he was fined $7,000. That's not a way to grow this economy. We have to grow the economy if we're going to make the tough decisions to make Medicare and Social Security sustainable into the future. But let me be clear once again. I believe that we cannot change the benefits for people over the age of 40. We need to be honest with our younger citizens in this country. They all know, you all know, that the programs you have aren't sustainable. But if the government is honest with you, saying that things need to change, that maybe those under 40 need to look at means testing, maybe we need to look at changing the age of eligibility, then our younger citizens can make plans. But we need to have a government that's honest.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Kerry.
Well, look, there's a big difference between Senator Fisher and myself on this. I spent a long time studying the problem of entitlement, all the way back to Republican Senator Jack Danforth and I chairing the Entitlement Commission in 1994. The problem was bad then. It's gotten worse. It's gotten worse. And she can talk about commitments, but the commitments don't necessarily mean we can afford to meet those commitments. And that's the problem. We can't. We can't afford it. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? And what she's saying basically is that if you're over 40, you're not going to have to participate in the solution. She said further by signing Norquist's pledge that if you're making more than $1 million a year, you're not going to have to participate in the solution. This is a very difficult problem to solve. And it doesn't stop there. You saw in the Chicago school strike, behind the, which I thought was ridiculous. You look at the Chicago school strike, behind that strike is public pensions in Chicago. It's going to be broken 2 or 3 years. They made commitments too. We got to keep our commitments. The problem is when you keep your commitments, you start laying off teachers, you start laying off personnel. The class sizes they're estimating going to 50 to keep the commitment. And the same thing is happening at the federal level. So the question is not are we going to keep our commitments, but the question is are we going to do the right thing for our future? Look, the most moving moment of my political career was in Lincoln, Nebraska on 6 June 1994 with men who had landed on the beaches of Normandy 50 years earlier. And we celebrated them as hero, not because they avoided risk, but because they took risk. And the question is, are we going to be remembered in the same fashion? And if we do it the way Senator Fisher is talking about, I promise you, we won't.
Thank you, Senator Kerry. Senator Fisher, you have 30 seconds.
Well, I wasn't in government when those commitments were made. But I can tell you, as a state senator for 8 years, I took my job very seriously. And when I made a commitment, that meant I was going to keep it. That meant that I was hoping the people that came after me and serve in the legislature will keep that commitment also. I can tell you what I won't do, though. I will not cut benefits, I will not raise taxes, and I won't steal $700 billion from Medicare.
Thank you, Senator. 30 seconds, Senator Kerry.
Well, first of all, your balanced budget amendment will necessitate cutting at least a third out of both Social Security and Medicare. I think it's the wrong way of approaching it. I support what we did with Medicare. But I'll say it again. We've got a commitment we can't fund. And it's simple math. It's a $60 trillion unfunded liability with $400,000 worth of debt for every single person in the workforce. We made a commitment that we can't keep. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? And if we don't do something about it, we'll end up like Greece relatively soon.
Senator, thank you. Next question from Robin is for Senator Kerry.
Both of you have said that businesses are overregulated. What specifically would you do to roll back regulations?
That's to me, right?
Yes, yep. Senator Kerry.
You're looking at her and talking to me. I was confused.
I'm charming.
No, well, you are. You are charming. That's absolutely true. What are you doing tonight?
We're both together. Dinner afterwards.
Look. I did start a business here in Omaha, Nebraska, actually Ralston. And the first thing I had to do was get a permit from the city of Ralston to build it. In fact, we had to get a zoning change and had to get it through a city council. So I've been dealing with government regulation since 1973. And I expressed that when I was governor and when I was senator, looking for ways to measure whether or not it's cost effective, whether or not there's a benefit. And we've got a number of regulations right now. I don't think the business mandate inside of the Affordable Health Care is going to work. I think we're imposing, for example, on NPPD out at Gerald Gentleman. FERC's telling the NPPD they got to do one thing, and EPA's telling them they got to do another. And basically, NPPD's trying to answer the question, which law do I break? I personally think the EPA regulation is excessive, and we ought to back off of it. But there's no question that there's cost attached to every single regulation. I like what Rob Portman is talking about right now with regulation, trying to measure what that cost is going to be. I don't support tying it all up, but what he's basically talking about is these federal agencies write a rule in advance or an instruction, I can't remember the exact noun, before the rule itself is promulgated and has the impact of the rule even before the final rule is done. So there's lots of things that I think that we can do to decrease the cost of regulation on business. And I don't think there's any question that it's going to, would be stimulative to our economy and help us create more jobs.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Fisher?
I think there's lots of things we can do, too. My first priority bill, my first year in the legislature, was a bill by Senator Pat Bourne, who happens to be a Democrat here in Omaha. I chose his bill for my priority bill. And it puts in place here in Nebraska a process whereby a citizen can challenge a rule or regulation to make sure that it meets legislative intent. So I've always been concerned about rules and regulations. We need to look at something like that at the federal level. We need to use a committee process at the federal level because one senator isn't going to be able to make all these changes on their own. But if you use a committee process and look at those rules and regulations that have a certain economic impact, that's a good way to start. You know, here in Nebraska, we look at the dust. We've all heard about the farm dust and how really ridiculous that rule was. Mr. Kerry mentioned the emissions that our public power plants face. That's of deep concern because in Nebraska we're so fortunate. We're so fortunate that we have public power and lower electric rates. It helps us all as consumers, but it also helps us to draw businesses to our state, to grow businesses. It's an advantage to come to Nebraska because of those rates, and you grow jobs. But we have to remember that if you set the rules and regulations, government should be there to help. They should be there to help individuals and to help businesses. We all want safe workplaces. We all want clean water and clean air. That should be the goal of a rule or regulation. Common sense.
Thank you. Senator Kerry?
Well, look, at the same time, we've got to be carried away, get careful not to get carried away with our own pro-business rhetoric. I remember the arguments against Title IX in 1972. I remember the arguments against the Americans with Disability Act. I remember the arguments against changing the law to make it harder for somebody who was drinking under the influence of alcohol and wearing seatbelts. And all those have made America better. 75% of the gold medals were women. Americans with Disability Act has changed what it means to go in the workforce. We've decreased fatalities in on our roads with both seatbelts and with tougher standards on drunk driving.
Thank you. Senator Fisher, 30 seconds.
I do believe in limited government. And I believe in personal responsibility. I don't think government needs to be out there and controlling every aspect of our lives. That's one reason that I am opposed to the Affordable Health Care Act, because of that individual mandate. Government should not be telling every individual in this country what we need to do and what we shouldn't be doing. The rules and regs are just out of control, and they need to be common sense, and they need to be responsible.
Thank you, Senator. Next question from Mike Tobias for Senator Fisher. Mike.
Thank you. A very broad question, and I am looking at you.
Thank you.
No offense, Senator Kerry. This is a very broad question, but do you have fears for the future of this country? And if so, what are they and why?
I'm very optimistic about the future of America. I'm an optimistic person at heart, and I believe that we still have and we still can become a great country. There's a number of proposals out there that, of course, concern me as they concern all Nebraskans. And I've listened to those concerns, I've listened to those fears as I've traveled across the state. But I still believe that we can turn this country around. I still believe that we can be on a road to recovery. And it's because of who we are. You know, Nebraskans, we always like to say that we're rugged individualists. You know, we're kind of ornery at times, but we're rugged individualists, and we make good decisions because we use common sense. We have those core values. We set priorities. We work hard. We believe in rewarding hard work. We believe in honesty and integrity and keeping your word. Those are qualities of every American citizen. So, yes, I'm optimistic. I believe we can change the direction that our country's headed by putting in place some common sense rules and regulations, by repealing some laws that I believe shouldn't be there, by taking care of our citizens and building a better and a brighter future.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Kerry.
Look, I'm too very optimistic. I've been optimistic all my life, sometimes to a fault. Sometimes when the terms and conditions on my life told me I should have been more pessimistic, it got me in trouble from time to time. So, I'm very optimistic. And we've got a great system. It's a free and open system. One of the most patriotic statements that I've gotten this campaign has come from a woman from Acapulco who runs a grocery store in Schuyler. She's legal. She wants to be a citizen. Take her another 6 or 7 years to get it done. But she tells a story about why this country is great. She's free. She's safe. She can do whatever she wants. It is a great system. My worries are several. One, I do worry about this balanced budget amendment. I mean, it's going to have a terrible impact on Nebraska. You should examine it. We're not going to be able to invest in our university. We're not going to be able to provide the Pell Grants that our students need. We're not going to be able to have the kind of research that needs to occur to develop these phenomenal public-private relationships that I talked about earlier with Cargill. Novozymes does a lot of research. They benefit as a consequence of the relationship that they've got with Metro Community College. Bellevue is the same way. You can see what happens with Stratcom creating businesses and Bellevue University beside it. You can see what happens at the University of Nebraska. These private partner relationships are all around the University of Nebraska Medical Center are at risk with this balanced budget amendment. So I am very optimistic. And finally, I'd say, I score it again. We've got a lot of kids who are in trouble. We've got a lot of young kids that need a lot more support, both non-financial support coming from the not-for-profit sector, as well as from some of our government agencies.
Thank you, Senator. 30 seconds, Senator Fisher.
I've heard a lot about the balanced budget amendment, so maybe I should address that. I support a balanced budget amendment. Here in Nebraska, we balance our budget every year. It's required by the Constitution. We need to do that at the federal level as well. Any time that you don't have controls on Congress, on spending, on politicians, they will spend every dime that they can get their hands on. We need to make the tough decisions. We need to control spending. That's how we can move this country forward.
Thank you, Senator Kerry.
Well, first of all, you balanced the budget in 2009 and 2010 in Nebraska as a result of federal stimulus money, 80%. It's a fact. Mr. Flynn called you correctly on this in the debate here in Omaha. But worse, it isn't just that we ought to balance our budget. It's the spending levels that are in this amendment. It would mean that we've got to cut much, much deeper than I think we'd have to if we face it the fact that we've made overcommitments in Social Security and Medicare. If you're willing to start with those programs, as conservative Republican Senator Coburn has, and if you're willing to tell Grover Norquist that he can put his pledge where the sun doesn't shine, you can do it without having to savage the things that we depend upon in Nebraska.
Thank you, Senator. Due to time constraints, this will be our final question. 45 seconds for response. There will be no rebuttal. Todd Andrews to Senator Kerry.
Thanks, Rob. Political campaigns, as we know, can be brutal these days, and they appear to have become more toxic in the last few years. As candidates, are there things you have done that you wish you did not have to do to win office? If so, what are they?
There are trade-offs. The biggest and most difficult trade-off is the trade-off you make with your family. This puts a big burden on my wife and son. So I wouldn't say I regret the decision, but I'm very conscious of what happens. Look, of all this whining and complaining about how terrible things are, I mean, nobody's going to haul me across and shoot me like Burr did with Hamilton. We had 750,000 Americans die from 1861 to 65 because we couldn't resolve the problem over slavery. We just have to do the work. We just have to solve the problem. We just have to accept that the facts say that we have to do things differently, regardless of whether Democrats get mad at you or Republicans get mad at you. And I've been in an environment where I've had both of them mad at me.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Fisher, 45 seconds.
Campaigning for this United States Senate seat has been a wonderful experience. It's been great to travel across the state of Nebraska, to meet people all across the state. We are such a diverse state. And there's so many positives out there. Nebraskans are friendly, they're kind, they're welcoming. So it's been a wonderful experience. It is a little tough on my husband of 40 years that I'm not home that much and that he has to take off sometimes and travel with me. But the benefits far outweigh any negatives in this experience that I have the honor to enjoy.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. We're now moving to the final part of our debate with the candidates' closing remarks, beginning with to address you directly. And we're going to begin with, as determined by coin flip, Senator Kerry. Senator?
I bring three things in closing. First, I've got a set of experiences that I believe will make me effective in the Senate. I've been in the military. I've been in business. I'm a disabled veteran as well. I've been a governor and dealing with all the problems as governor and in the Senate. I don't need on-the-job training. I know how to do this job. I know how to be effective. I know how to cross party lines and take the grief from my party when I do. And I promise you I will do just that. Secondly, we have to change Congress. You got to believe that it can be done. And that's what I keep facing with voters. They say, well, I don't think you can get it done. I can get it done. If I get elected, I believe strongly I can persuade Americans we have to amend our Constitution. We have to change the rules of filibuster. And we have to change the rules that govern all these committees. 88 subcommittees with responsibility for homeland security right now. Other than you get less security and it costs you more money, it's working just fine. There's lots of change that needs to occur. And the last thing is, my economic plan and Senator Fisher's economic plan are dramatically different. I have supported Republican proposals that fix Social Security and Medicare and believe that should be the foundation for balancing our budget, not changing our Constitution that would savage and increase unemployment in Nebraska.
Thank you, Senator Kerry. Senator Fisher, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. Nebraskans have a clear choice in this election on November 6th. There's a clear contrast between Mr. Kerry and myself on just about every issue. You know, I voted for and helped to pass the largest tax relief package in the history of the state of Nebraska. Mr. Kerry voted for and passed the largest tax increase in the history of our country. I do support a balanced budget amendment. He did not when he was in the Senate. And I would say to you, if it would have passed then, we wouldn't be looking at over a $1 trillion deficit today. I don't believe that government should come between a doctor and a patient. I support market-based health insurance. Mr. Kerry supports government-run health insurance. I have a jobs plan. I have a jobs plan so that we can cut spending, but we need to grow jobs to turn this economy around. We need to reduce regulations. We need to reduce energy costs. We need to reform a tax code. We need to repeal the health care law. We need to promote free and fair trade. That will get us on the road to recovery. We face many challenges in this country, but Americans are exceptional people because we have the talents, we have the resources, we have the knowledge, and we have the willpower to overcome those challenges. So, yes, I believe in a brighter future for America. I want to help build that brighter future. So I ask for your support, and I ask for your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. Please join me, everyone, in thanking both candidates for their participation.
You've been listening to a program from the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce on Noon Forum. We've heard a debate between the two candidates for United States Senate from Nebraska, Republican Deborah Fisher, currently serving her second term in the Nebraska unicameral, representing the 43rd District, the chairman of the Transportation and Telecommunications Committee, and a member of the Revenue Committee and the Executive Board, and Democrat Joseph Bob Kerry, former governor of Nebraska, former United States Senator from Nebraska from 1989 to 2001, and currently a resident of New York State, where he served as president of the New School from 2001 to 2010. The debate was co-sponsored by the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce and KETV Channel 7. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Friday afternoon, September 28, 2012, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Roseanne Shannon and the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 200 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. The general election is 1 week away, next Tuesday, November 6th. We strongly encourage you to do your civic duty as citizens of the United States and vote. Remember, the only wasted vote is the one not cast. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.